All right, so now I just went to Wikipedia and randomly looked up some mineral. And because I said that crystals are classified by their symmetry. So you go there and it gives some information about this crystal, the chemical formula. And then here they give the symmetry of the crystal. And there's first this HM symbol, and this is giving us the point group. And then there's another symbol here, which is telling us the space group. So I introduced this idea of point groups before. A point group is you take some molecule, or it can be a whole crystal, and you hold one point constant, and you consider all the symmetries that are associated by rotating or reflecting the crystal around, such that this one point is held constant. And it turns out that there are 32 point groups allowed. In three dimensions, there are 32 point groups. So if you have something like a cube, there are certain symmetries associated with this cube. If you look at it from the top and you rotate it by 90 degrees, that's a symmetry. And you can describe that symmetry by a 3x3 matrix. So this 3x3 matrix takes any vector and rotates it by 90 degrees. And then there's another symmetry as you look at it from the side. You can rotate it by 90 degrees, or you look at it from different directions and rotate it by 90 degrees, or 180 degrees, or 270 degrees, or you could rotate it all the way around, so you get back to where it began, and that would be the same as the identity operator. Then you can look along the 111 direction and rotate it by 120 degrees. So if you look from a corner towards the center, you see three lines on a cube, and if you rotate it 120 degrees, that's also a symmetry. And this rotation you can describe in terms of a 3x3 matrix. Then there are reflection planes. If you cut the cube through the, say, YZ plane, you can reflect it through X, and it's symmetric. And a cube also has inversion symmetry, which means you take X to minus X, Y to minus Y, Z to minus Z. That's also a 3x3 matrix that looks, this is inversion. And by giving this number here, this symbol, it tells us which point group this crystal belongs to, which symmetries, rotations, reflections, inversion, you can apply, and it will bring the crystal back onto itself. Now, the space groups are also symmetries, but the space groups include transformations where no point stays in the same place. And these are typically something like a screw dislocation. So what you do is you've got a crystal, and then you turn it by a certain angle and then shift it up a bit. And when you do that, it falls back on all the atoms fall back on equivalent atoms again. There's a screw dislocation like that. There are also cases where you do a reflection and then move it. And when you include this kind of symmetry, there are 230 possibilities. And these 230 possibilities all have symbols that look like this, and they all have a number. They're listed from 1 to 230. And these are called the space groups. And not all of the symmetries of a space group can be written as a 3x3 matrix, because you have to first rotate, which takes a 3x3 matrix, and then you need to shift. You need to add the extra vector to it. So I spent quite some time with the students making a table of these symmetries. Where is it? Energy bands. And this is what the table looks like. And it's organized into rows. And it's only that the if you know the space group, the space group specifies the point group. So if you know that, that, for instance, that crystal we were just looking at was in space group 218. And if you know the space group, then that specifies the point group. And if you know the point group, that specifies the Bravais lattice. And if you know the Bravais lattice, that specifies the crystal class. So the Bravais lattice is dependent on the symmetries. If you know the symmetries of the crystal, that automatically specifies the Bravais lattice that's associated with it. So for the one that I was looking at, the space group number was 218. So you have to go down the table until you find 218 would fall in this category. And so this is the that symbol that we saw for the point group. And if you then slide over, I'll put this at the bottom here. If you slide over to the right, these matrices here are the symmetries of the point group. And the first one here is the identity matrix. And the second one is taking x to minus x, y to minus y, and leaving z alone. And that's going to be a rotation of 180 degrees around z. So z stays the same, and x goes to minus x, y goes to minus y. That's a rotation of 180 degrees around z. This is a rotation around x. So x stays constant. There's a 1 here and these two minus 1s. This is 180 degrees around x. And this is 180 degrees around y. So these three matrices are describing different symmetries of the crystal. It's called a group. And a group has a property that if you take two of these matrices and multiply them together, you get another matrix of the group. So if, for instance, a symmetry is that you rotate it by 90 degrees, you could take the 90 degree rotation and multiply it by itself, and it would rotate by 180 degrees. So every time that 90 degrees is a symmetry, 180 degrees is as well, and 360 degrees is as well. And then you multiply it one more time, you come back to the identity matrix, which is this first one, which is usually called E. So even though there's a long list of matrices out here, it turns out that you can figure them out by just looking at the generating matrices. And this column here says generating matrices. If you just take these two and start multiplying by themselves and multiplying them with each other, you get more matrices. And you keep taking those matrices and keep multiplying them together until you stop getting new matrices. And in this case, when you do it with these two, you end up with 24. This is the number of symmetry elements. You end up with 24 matrices that describe the group. It will turn out later we will talk about how you can use these matrices to understand the form of different physical quantities like electrical conductivity. So the electrical conductivity in some crystals, it doesn't matter which direction you measure it. It's the same whether you measure it in the 100 direction or in the 111 direction, or it doesn't matter at all which direction you measure it. But there are other crystals, like for instance graphene, which is layered, where the conductivity is good in the layers and it's bad perpendicular to the layers. And then the electrical conductivity, it matters which direction you measure through the crystal. And you can see that from these symmetry elements. If a crystal has certain symmetry elements, then you can say definitely it doesn't matter which direction you measure the conductivity in. But if it has a different set of symmetry elements, then it does matter. So we will come back to this during the rest of the course.